listening to Reformation Rush Hour, the fastest hour in radio history, underway, underwritten by ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org. Go discover your Lutheran history, but wait until this program's over. It will be soon enough. This hour flies by, and it's hard to believe when it's over already. We have on the phone with us today Pastor Christopher Gillespie. We're going to get to him in just a minute, but I kind of want to set this up a little bit. You know, when I grew up in fundamentalism, and kids weren't allowed in church, really. You weren't allowed in until you were, well, bare bones, 9, 10 years old, preferably not until you were at least in junior high. You would go to children's church. You would go to Bible class or whatever. And of course, back then, Bible class and church were kind of synonymous because the sermons were basically just Bible studies for the most part, surrounded with a bunch of praise songs. And of course, in my world, surrounded by a bunch of hippies singing praise songs, which was kind of cool in its own way. Anyway, now that I'm a Lutheran pastor, things are a little different. We've got little guys and girls just screaming their brains out in church while I'm trying to preach. It can be irritating at times, but also we believe as Lutherans that it's a blessing. With us on the phone is Pastor Christopher Gillespie, Grace Lutheran Church, Dyer, Indiana. Welcome to the program, Pastor.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Now, you have, about 5,000 children of your own?
Yeah, I'm getting pretty close to that. Seven going on eight. My oldest is 13. My youngest we're expecting at the end of December.
Wow.
Yeah, so I have a little bit of a gamut, not too much spread there.
So you have a little bit of personal experience in this, how to deal with kids in church kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I've been raising them myself with my wife, of course, for those 13 years. Not all of those have I been a pastor, so, you know, I've seen it on both ends as a pastor in the pulpit and also, you know, as a father in the pew. And, you know, that experience then I think is pretty helpful. You know, I can see it both ways.
I have a good friend who I may or may not do another radio program with. I don't want to mention his name, even if he is a pastor at Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California. He kind of had a little bit of this controversy in his own church, I know, and I don't want to speak out of school because I know this is common in a lot of churches. The people who either have never had kids or have forgotten what it's like to have kids in church, and they're just kind of perplexed about why can't those kids just sit still and behave themselves for an hour?
Yeah.
Pastor Gillespie, I assume that people have probably asked this kind of question to you.
Yeah, well, you know, every congregation's dynamic is a little different on that. If there's already, you know, been a number of children in the congregation for some time, I think you get acclimated, you know, kind of like to the temperature. You get used to the fact that there's going to be some pretty significant noise coming from those kids, and you learn how to still pay attention, participate in the liturgy throughout that, and. But, you know, in my particular case, this congregation that I'm in currently didn't have children in worship, at least young children, until we got here. And then we brought our horde. I don't know if it's a horde. That's probably not the right word for it, but flock.
Aren't children
multitude.
Considered a gaggle?
A gaggle, something
yeah,
like
I
that,
think
yeah.
It's a gaggle. I know baboons are a congress, so you
right.
can't have that one.
Right. And I also think, you know, there's some aberrant practices out there among our churches sometimes where children are shuffled out, you know, during the divine service to go do some activities or, you know, for maybe even have Sunday school during the divine service. And that way, you know, they're not going to be distracting to the people who are trying to pay attention to, especially the sermon. And but that does, I think it says something incorrect about what we believe is actually happening in the divine service and whether it's, you know, truly appropriate for the children to be there.
Well, let's talk about this for a minute, because we say in the Lutheran Church that it's a blessing to have children in the church. Why do we say that it's a blessing to have them in church?
Well, we actually believe that God's Word does what it says. You know, so when God says, I especially have baptism coming up this weekend, you know, he says to the young Jacob, who is 6 months old, you know, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that he actually is doing what he says, that he's making you his child, that he's granting to you the gift of the Holy Spirit and faith in His Word, and that then it's appropriate for you to continue in that baptism from your rebirth through water and Word until the day you die to be with the Lord. So, yeah. Well, and also we believe that the Word is what Jesus says it is, that it's bread from heaven, that His Word is nourishment for our bodies and souls. And, and to deprive children of that then seems to be, what do you want to say, just a problem, really.
I want to be a devil's advocate here.
Sure.
And let's look at some of the arguments against. It's boring for the kids, Pastor. They can't pay attention for a whole hour. They sit there and color and eat Cheerios.
Yeah. Well, that might be some parents' practice. speaking as a father, we made an effort from the beginning to do the hard work of teaching, beginning with my oldest son, who's actually rehearsing organ in the church at the moment. I can hear him. So maybe this is the fruit of that to sit, that you sit in church, and if we're going to take you out of church, you're going to rather that you had been in church.
Hmm.
So he learned that it's better for me to sit and to be behaved in church than it is for me to be taken out. Because if that happens, I'm not going to like it. Every parent probably has a different way of going about the discipline that would happen outside, you know, maybe in the narthex or in the nursery. But they all learn that lesson one way or another if you're willing to teach them that, you know, it's good for you to be here. Maybe you have to do it with a little awe at the beginning, you know. But then I really do think it's important to teach the children about all the good that God is doing for you in that divine service, all the gifts that He's giving. Mm. And but that does require, again, some parental teaching. I mean, the parents are catechists there, and they're teaching their children what's going on in the divine service. You know, why are we singing? Why are we standing? Why are we sitting? You know, what's that on the altar? What's that? What's the pastor talking about? And all those sort of things then really do reinforce why they're there, why the children should be there. And they, you know, I've been surprised as a father, because you know, when we go home on Sunday, when I eventually get home, I'll go over with them in the evening. You know, what was the sermon about? What did you learn in church? Or and what was Jesus doing? And even at a pretty young age, they usually get it. You know, as soon as they can talk, they're able to tell you, oh, Jesus was there, or there was a healing, or there was a miracle, or something like that.
We're talking with Pastor Christopher Gillespie from Grace Lutheran Church in Dyer, Indiana, about children in church. Pastor Gillespie, I mentioned my friend Bill Swirl at the beginning of the program and some controversy in his church, and I haven't experienced this personally in my congregations. This is why I defer to him, I guess. But one of the issues that they were seeing was that the mothers in the congregation were unable, basically, to hear a sermon because the kids would start fussing and fidgeting and everything else. And then, you know, they'd either take them out into the narthex or into the cry room, where the kids are all making a whole bunch of noise and everything. And I think that there was just this feeling of frustration of the mothers and possibly the fathers saying, why are we even here? We can't hear the sermon. It's hard to participate in the liturgy. And it's difficult for us to come bring our kid and simply just spend the next hour chasing them around. Mm-hmm. What are some of the solutions that might be available to people who feel that way?
Well, I'll tell you what we have done, and I think it's helpful. I mean, this is the biggest one, is that we've always ignored whatever kind of directions the ushers gave in the congregations, that were even in this congregation, there were little badges on the pew, on the last two pews, that said these pews are reserved for families with young children. And we've always ignored that and rather sat at the front. Our logic was that children are more easily distracted than adults. I don't know if that's actually true, but we're pretty easily distracted. But at the same time, that the children then would have, at least within their line of sight, all the things that we'd actually like them to pay attention to, which would include any of the symbols that are throughout the church, the stained glass windows, the actions of the pastor. He's going to occupy their primary attention because he's the one that they are seeing delivering the Lord's gifts right in front of them. So we've sat at the front. That does cause some problem for the other members of the parish, and that now the children are the distraction for the adults. And I think there is some, you know, it's a reasonable issue to have. I think the question really is, who's the one that is more capable of ignoring distractions? Is it going to be the children, or is it going to be the adults, especially, you know, majority of them were married, had kids, you know, kind of get it already, or presumably could get it if you reminded them what it was like one day for them. So that's a real practical suggestion, because pretty much everything else I would suggest is going to be connected to that, as far as giving them, you know, opportunities to pay attention and to pointing out what's happening during the service. If I'm having to do it, you know, from the back of the sanctuary, I'm also going to have to deal with the fact that the children have, you know, the rest of the congregation in front of them, and incidentally, majority of the congregation isn't all that much better behaved than the children. They just tend to be quieter. You know, they're chatting with each other. They're looking around. They're doing other things too. They're writing down their grocery list, you know, for after, when, you know, on the way home from church. They're doing all the same sort of stuff that we don't want the kids to be doing. We don't want the children to be distracted by that. I do think we have to take the Lord's word here or to heed it anyway, as something important. He said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for such belongs to the kingdom of God." You know, we understand that there's a baptismal text, but it does extend then to the whole, you know, life of the baptized, to not prevent these children from receiving the Lord's gifts. So that, I think that's really a practical suggestion. And but it kind of leads us maybe to a conversation about, maybe, for lack of a better word, a distrust in the efficacy of God's word, you know, its effectiveness, but also, especially when, as it's confessed and proclaimed and responded to by the congregation throughout the divine service, that's actually, you know, the service is beneficial to the children.
Let me throw this out there. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the God of the Lord, Pastor. Mm-hmm. And I can't hear the sermon. I can't hear the word of the Lord because your kid's making too much noise, someone else's kids are making too much noise. There has to be a place also for the parents and their sensitivity to have enough common sense that if my kid is pitching a fit, mm-hmm. and it's competing with people hearing the pastor, there is a time that I need to stand up, take the kid out to the narthex, get him to settle down and come back in, right?
Yeah, no, that's part of the discipline. I mentioned that earlier, you know, and having to go through that with, you know, with our children, you know, when they're young, doing that intentionally, you know, when they're young, so that they learn that, and they learn that that's, you know, what's appropriate behavior in the church, you know, is to be attentive, and that does generally mean being relatively silent and listening. You know, being an active hearer. I mean, you have to learn that. Everybody has to learn how to do that. It's not an easy thing to do, especially given that, you know, the music that we sing in the church isn't really all that similar to anything else that we sing throughout the rest of our musical life. You know, pop music, radio, whatever it is. The kind of message that we hear, you know, in a sermon, even if, you know, you're probably like me, you're limit yourself to, you know, 12, 14, 15 minutes, recognizing that that's kind of the limit of the attention span of the mature people in the audience, but that may not even be accurate. You can't even watch a television program before, you know, you don't even get to 8 minutes before you hit a commercial break usually. So,
right.
So, you know, the reality is that everybody has to learn how to do it, and the parents, I think you're right, you know, need to be, to recognize the you know, those times where now it is time to discipline. It has gotten out of control here with the child. On the other side of that equation, though, too, is, you know, recognizing as a congregation member who isn't, you know, struggling with the child in the pew, having some at least empathy, if not sympathy, for, you know, the mother and or father who's there, to recognize when they actually just need help, you know.
Mm.
And that's a peculiar situation, you know, to help my family, in that I'm up at front. I can't really do much disciplining of my children within the context of the service, you know, without it being an even bigger distraction. But occasionally I have, maybe twice, 4 years, had to stop the service and actually, you know, ask my children to behave. You know, in my situation, there's four children in the pew, and the rest are scattered throughout the sanctuary, doing this or that, playing the organ, helping the ladies with the altar guild, just sitting with the altar guild ladies, one's being an acolyte. And then there's four young ones with a single mom, effectively. And to say, well, what's appropriate, you know, right now? Is it to be, you know, critical of the fact that she's got three kids making a lot of noise and one who's just kind of, you know, not helping? Or is it to say, you know, could I help you? Could I sit with you this week? You know, I sit with the child. You know, what would you expect of me? Can I help it? Because it'll help everybody, you know. And I think that's recognizing that going to church isn't just about you and God. It is about the community. It is, or the family of faith that's literally there. So lending a helping hand and being attentive to the needs of the other parents and trying to offer some assistance rather than just some critique, I think would be helpful too.
You talk about discipline. We're almost out of time here, mm-hmm. but and that's fine if your kid's 5, 6, 7 years old, et cetera. But what about the 8-month-old baby that's just pitching a fit, maybe teething or something like that?
Sure.
And it's not a matter of discipline. It's just a matter of the kid is out of sorts.
Yeah.
You know, how do you deal with that as a parent in the church?
Yeah, I've been relatively blessed to not have to deal with that, at least in my own family, but I've seen it in others. And a congregation should be attentive to having, you know, the ability, I mean, with technology these days, to hear the service, you know, piped into, you know, the nursery or into the narthex, elders recognizing, you know, that father's having a little challenge with the child, you know, we should, you know, close the doors to the sanctuary so that they can be right in the narthex, they can see what's going on, they can hear it, even though they can't, you know, be immediately in the presence there. So, you know, providing some assistance, but still, yeah, you recognize you do have other people in the sanctuary. So I think the big thing is, you know, recognizing, as you know, if you ask my wife, you say, when was the last time you heard a sermon? She hasn't, for the most part, heard but maybe a handful of sermons in 13 years. You know, and so for those parents, they should take, as my wife does, take great comfort in the fact that even if she didn't catch, you know, even the main point of the sermon, that there is, you know, really our Lord's chief proclamation of the forgiveness of sins that she is able to go to the altar and kneel before the Lord and receive his body and blood for her forgiveness. So regardless of whether she heard the in particular proclamation, that proclamation is always there for her, you know, each Sunday. So she takes comfort in that. And I think, you know, someday she'll have her opportunity to hear preaching. And by that point, I'll be a better preacher too, probably. Still in the office, so there you go.
One would hope after that kind of experience that you might,
yeah, exactly.
might actually get better. And just with 30 seconds left, maybe a last thought on children in the church.
I'd say the biggest thing is to recognize that the children are invited by the Lord to be in his presence, to hear his word, and to receive his gifts, and to be very active in speaking with them about what's happening in the service, praying with them, teaching them the prayers, helping them learn the hymns, pointing out all the particular confessions of faith that are done in your sanctuary with banners and artwork, and involving them in all those ways rather than just providing them with distractions. Otherwise, they end up just being a distraction.
Pastor Christopher Gillespie, I'm trying to talk here. thanks so much for being with us today and talking about this important issue.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
God bless.
Yes.
You know, I had a pastor once who said that the, children are like good intentions. They should be carried out. And my response to that is, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, if I've heard that properly in the past. Children are a blessing. In and out of church, they are. And what a joyful thing it is when we can share the faith with a little one, even as Christ has called them. You're listening to Reformation Rush Hour on Worldwide KFUO.